L-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Okay. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, left my lies. Feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Welcome into the show and the station as a whole. Yeah, it's Labor Day, but some of us want to work. You know, it's funny, Lance is in the building and he walked in here and was surprised that anyone else was getting to work today. He's got something with the Joe Moore Award, so he's going to actually do some radio-type stuff, a podcast, but not appear on the show or his own show. You know, I was thinking about tweeting out that we're going to start the broadcast day at 10, but then I was like, nah, I wanted to. If this is a secret show, it's a secret show. People either become aware that we're on or not. I'm not really that concerned.
And let's not save John and Lance from angry tweets about at 7:15 about why they're not on the air.
Yeah.
If they want to get those angry tweets, that's fine.
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes I'm included in those, like, where are you guys? I wasn't included, so maybe people understood that, oh, these guys never work on Labor Day, so don't expect it. But hey, we're here. The rest of the lineup is here, and it was a big weekend. And I am working hard not to completely ignore the Astros because of all the football. You know, in my head, I'm like, football, 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 let's talk football. It's actually game week for the Texans this week. We had all these college football games to discuss. We had a thriller last night, thanks in part to the conservative head coach coaching the Miami team. That's why it was a thriller. But we'll get into that later. The Astros do play today. They play at a 1:10. That's the start time. And Luis Garcia is back. Luis Garcia is back. He has not pitched on the major league level. What are we at? It's over like 500 days now, isn't it?
Yes, it was 2023.
Yeah.
I should have bookmarked it or something. The Astros batting lineup, the last time that Luis Garcia pitched, and I saw Corey Jolks in there.
Oh, man. Man.
I was like, whoa. I saw Kyle Tucker in there. Oh, who is that guy?
So
I'm surprised I didn't see Carlos Correa from the first time.
Yeah, if I go into his game log, the last time Luis Garcia pitched for the Astros was May 1st, 2023. So we're talking full 2 years since the last time he started a game. And he's back against an Angels team who, you know, they're not hitting the cover off the ball, but it doesn't matter because the Astros aren't hitting at all. So you've gotten good pitching outings from all three of your pitchers who have gone. Eric Geddy was good. Great to see. Christian Javier was great. Really good to see. And Hunter Brown is Hunter Brown. And you've won one of those games. All three of those guys went six or more. Were good enough to leave with you having a lead if your bats were, you know, active at all. Unfortunately, wasn't the case. Well, yesterday, the Astros go down 3-0. And the experience of watching the Astros at home, particularly if you're going to the game, you know you got Hunter Brown on the mound, so you're expecting a good outing. You know, he walked three, didn't strike out very many, but 5 and 6 innings, he left giving up one run. That's a start that you're going to love. And then you had the Lance McCullers experience. So Lance McCullers in the bullpen, there was some thought that he would start today. But the plan overall was for him to contribute out of the bullpen, and we got to look at him out of the bullpen. And not good. Same Lance McCullers we've seen as a starter. So we'll see how long that experiment continues. But so Hunter Brown goes his 6. McCullers gives up his 2 in 2 innings. It wouldn't have mattered. because the Astros weren't going to score any runs. So the Lance McCullers thing, not great. But the lineup has been a real problem over the course of this series and really since July, particularly at home. So in this series, they scored a total of 3 runs. And, you know, because it's the Astros and they have great pitching, if Luis Garcia goes out there and is really good in his return, you still got a chance to at least split this series against the Angels. And it's a tough one. Coming off taking 2 out of 3 from the Rockies, you expect it at least. What do we set the standard at? We said, what, 5-2? Did you say that's where they...
you could only lose 2 games.
Yeah. Well, they've lost 3. Yeah, so bad. That's not happening.
Bad.
So that's not happening. Unfortunately, this is a team you can't trust. The 3-3 in the homestand, best they can do is 4-3. And they got to hope that Luis Garcia, who hasn't pitched since May of 2023, goes out and gives them a good outing for that to happen. But in the month of July, as I was talking about, since the month of July 1st, the Astros at home are 12-17. And that shouldn't be a surprise. If you're watching them day to day, you've known the home record has slipped. They're 12-17 at home. And you look at some of the batting average, the numbers from the plate, batting average under 220, OPS under 630, striking out a lot. Although they strike out quite a bit on the road as well, but they're not working counts. The walks are down. It's been atrocious. 24 home runs hit at home, 36 on the road since the start of July. And at 29 games at home and 28 games on the road. So it's a pretty even split. And the numbers bear out that it's got to be a tough experience to watch this team, particularly if you like going to the ballpark. You know, it's your Astros. They're consistent winners. You want to go out and support the team. And from game to game, you look out there and go, man, this lineup is putrid. There have been injuries, but those guys are back now. You look at this lineup now, what outside of Jake Myers, the guys out there are the guys. And I can't believe I'm putting so much on a return of Jake Myers, but you get the point.
Yeah, no.
The full-time guys are out there.
Calvary is
back.
Basically already there.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. All we're waiting on is Jake Myers and, you know, say that in April or say that in March and – look how we react of like, wait, this lineup's dependent on Jake Myers coming back? Or that's the like shimmering glimmer of hope is, well, maybe Jake Myers comes back.
And does he spark this lineup because they're just
the
missing Jake Myers? And speaking, Jake Myers has been gone a long time, so expect him to be someone.
He played the best 4 months of his life.
And we expect that to continue? I really don't. I really don't. Yeah. And it's not really a shot at Jake Myers. It's just what his career has been. He played really good baseball for 4 months. Do I? And you add on the long absence. Do I expect Jake Myers to come and roll in? No.
Yeah, it was the same thing when I think we both said the same thing when Jeremy Pena was out and came back. It was a little bit of like the injury. It wasn't as long as Jake Myers, or he wasn't out as long as Jake Myers. But there was a little bit of like, man, he was really rolling, and I don't want to disrupt that. Like, there's a chance he was on just a heater and. Through rehabbing and not being able to play every day, that you just kind of lose it and you revert back into more of who you used to be. That hasn't been 100% the case with Pena, but he hasn't been the same guy since he got hurt. So, yeah, I mean, it really is just going to come down to Yordan Alvarez. I mean, just the guys in the lineup. I could list them all. I was going to start listing a handful. No, it's all of them, actually. Just need to start playing better.
Just look who they wrote out there yesterday. Pena, Alvarez, Altuve, Correa, Sanchez, Walker, Diaz, Urias, and Melton.
That's a good lineup.
That's a good lineup.
Good enough.
That is pretty much, if we were starting, depending on if there's a left-hander, then Sanchez is gone. He's not in the lineup. But if you're facing a right-hander game on the playoffs,
that's
more or less who you're going to run out there. And we saw the Angels and Soriano shut him down. We got an old friend back, though, today. Beyond Luis Garcia, Kikuchi's back as well.
I know.
Kikuchi's back. And while he's not as a hard luck case as Hunter Brown, where the numbers suggest he should have a much better record, Hunter Brown's now 10-7. Like, Kikuchi's ERA about 3.7. He's been fine. Not as good as he was in his short stint with the Astros. But he has been pretty good in Anaheim and the record doesn't reflect it. So if you look at his overall record and go, he's a 6-9. He's been better than 6-9 if you just go by the overall number. So we'll see if the Astros can find a way to split the series against the against this Angels team and avoid having a losing homestand. That's tough to have the Rockies and Angels come into town and lose the homestand.
I mean, again, we didn't exactly have like sky high expectations.
Yeah, you just win each series.
Both series was the That's expectation.
All. That is all.
And yeah, it's very, very possible that they don't meet that, again, very meager expectations where, they have to be really glad that football season either is starting NFL-wise or has started in true last week, because we probably won't talk about them a ton today, like on down the lineup, probably won't. Well, or at least it'll be the least we've ever talked about them for 3 months.
Sure.
But man, they really could have made up some ground. I don't know, 30 to 45 minutes per show that they'll be talked about would have been less, actually, if they were taking care of business.
Man, this is a 2-hour show, so this is probably all they're going to get unless...
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, I may refresh the Luis Garcia things for people who don't know in a second hour. But other than that, I figured let's talk about him now, because the interest in talking about him the rest of the show is really absent. They're a team who has proven in the last 2 months to be a 500 baseball team. That's what they are. They're a 500 baseball team, and it's not fun to talk about 500 baseball teams. The only saving grace, as it has been the entire year, is that the Mariners over there scuffling as well.
They're also a 500 baseball team.
Yeah, we're always in this range of a game and a half to three, depending on who's playing who played, who had the day off. It's all the same. It's all the same. We've been in this neutral zone on both these teams forever.
Yeah,
it feels like the summer has been this about. Can they turn it on? Are the Mariners on the verge of catching them? And the Mariners got as close as a half a game, and they tricked off, and now we're still stuck at two.
I mean, just the very, bird's eye view, just very, very general stat here. But it's been true for the last 2 months, essentially. Last 10 games, Astros 6-4, Mariners 5-5. Just like that every time they lose, that every time the Astros lose, generally you wait an hour and then you see either Jeremy Branham or Mark Berman tweet out, "Mariners lost, lead stays the same." Where while that is good, while it's better than the alternative, you really could be running away with this thing, or at least at arm's length with this thing.
And yes, winning a division title probably never gets old for the true baseball people. You always want to win a division. I have been spoiled by the Astros. Don't really care that they're able to hold off that very average Mariners team over the course of the summer. I don't care about it.
I want to be, at the very least, can we be talking about being in a race with the 2 seed or the 1 seed? Like, I would much prefer that conversation of the Astros are X games back from the 2 seed or from the 1 seed, and that is who we're watching, not the Mariners again, so that the Astros can essentially win the AFC South of baseball.
I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to do this.
Last 2 years, it's been like, well, they won 85 games, but that was enough to win.
Great.
Win
cool.
The division.
Cool. And we saw how that played out. Hell, they hosted a playoff, a wild card series.
Doesn't matter, Brian. What? AFC South champions 2 years in a row, Brian.
AOF. Yeah,
you guys are back in the...
Doesn't matter what it looked like. Back in the playoffs. Looking forward to the playoffs.
Exactly.
Go ahead. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah, you did. And Bill O'Brien's former quarterback backed up his words. We'll talk about that when we come back.
Oh, yeah.
We had a big weekend of college football. We will get, certainly, your thoughts, and by your thoughts, in this case, I mean Sean, on how his Longhorns really played to what we thought how the game would go when we broke it down on Friday, except for a certain
it was
aspect.
Like the extreme of what we thought.
Yeah, except for a certain aspect. So we'll get to that. If you want to join the show because you didn't get a chance to call in this morning because those guys didn't work.
Maybe 10:45. What'd you learn this?
That's a lot of work for you.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
And it's
we're not doing that.
There's also the possible embarrassment of doing it and no one calls. You don't ever want to set yourself up for that, too. What you learn
real ones only.
Yeah. What you learn is
we'll separate the real from the fake.
Don't set yourself up for things that could fail. We don't need to have that on our plate. But 713-780-3776 is a number if you want to join.
Open, but don't talk about what you learned this weekend.
I mean, you could do that, but we're not going to prompt you.
Oh, okay.
We're not going to play the music. Alanis will stay.
Oh, yeah. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, we're not going to do any of that stuff. But if you want to talk about things, because you got to get it off your chest, like Keith tweeted us over the weekend. By us, I mean me and John and Lance, because Vanderbilt got off to a good start and Alabama didn't. And speaking of Vanderbilt, while the Pavi on the field had a pretty good day, the Pavi is off the field. Maybe they had a great night, too, but we'll talk about the result of that as well because there's a lot to get to in college football. What a weekend. The games are back. We're not even done yet. We got Belichick tonight against TCU as TCU tries to avoid something that happened to them 2 years ago now where the big-name coach with all the fanfare comes into your city, although this one's not in Fort Worth, comes into your city and takes all your shine. TCU coming off, what was it, a national title game appearance?
Yep.
Had Deion and the Colorado Buffaloes come in there and win a thriller. Now they got this probably the biggest name. You know, it's college football, so I don't know if I want to give Belichick that, but he's the most – is he the biggest name in the sport?
Most decorated.
He's the most decorated college coach of all time, I would say, because of all his NFL stuff, not because of the college stuff. They get him now. They had Deion. Now they got get Belichick. Let's see if TCU avoids the fate that well, at least the thing that happened to them a couple years ago. So that's tonight. Belichick in his debut. A lot of stars going to be there. Michael Jordan's rumored to be there. Mia Hamm's rumored to be there.
Marcus Jordan.
I don't know who's going to be there beyond Michael, but, you know, Jordan Brand, North Carolina.
Tyler Hansbrough's going to be there.
They're going to have a lot of people there on the sideline.
Ty Lawson.
Sure. They won't all be UNC football related, but Julius Peppers will be.
Oh.
He's supposed to be there. We'll see if they.
Daquan Bowers.
Is Dre Bly was on the previous staff? I don't know if Dre Bly will be there.
I feel like he should have a permanent job coaching cornerbacks.
Yeah, you know, like Stanford at one point, they named coordinator positions after like their players. Like, it was like the Andrew Luck offensive coordinator. Yeah. The Dre Bly cornerback coach position should be this name, and it should be Dre Bly as long as he wants to do it. So we'll see if Dre Bly is there. It's gonna be a good night, just for the spectacle. We'll see if it's a good game. All right. More college football when we come back.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 and HD 97.9 HD2.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We had two competitive games yesterday. I mean, the Carolina-Virginia Tech game was the scuffle until South Carolina realized, oh, yeah, we got Nicole Harper's really fast, and Norris Sellers just this giant fast man playing quarterback. Maybe we should allow our best players to be our best players. To be fair, Virginia Tech gave them a good fight. At some point, the elite players, or at least athletes, took over for South Carolina. They had a great punt return as well. So they win that one. That was the appetizer. If you love rivalries that have something to do with football, something to do with geography, and a lot to do with you're different than me, that means you're bad. That's Miami Notre Dame. That rivalry popped out of nowhere in the 80s, and it's stood the test of time despite some of the issues for both programs as far as not being at the top of college football. We'll see if what we saw last night is a precursor of things to come for both programs. It was a game that Miami dominated for 3.5 or 2.5 quarters, and then the Mario Cristobal of it all started, and it turned into a close ball game. We'll get into that. But let's talk about Saturday's action. Of course, we start at 11 a.m. 11 a.m., well, to be fair, 11:15, Texas, Ohio State.
Oh, So we're not going to do a tribute to Lee Corso. Okay.
I'll mention this. All of his picks, he won. He was right.
He was.
His final picks for game day beyond the headgear, all of his picks are right.
Including the headgear.
Yeah, yeah. That one, clearly, he picked Ohio State. But all the things he said were going to happen as far as the games this weekend happened. So a tribute to him by the teams. He picked that. Well, that might have been, hey, I think he even said, I'm not going to go against my home.
The fact that he was right.
That was a game that had a window to itself, considering the matchups that weren't FSU, Alabama, and you know we didn't talk about it a lot.
No, because
on
I thought,
Friday we just assumed
I was lumping this matchup in with all the other bad ones. I was like, this one's also going to be pretty bad. I guess for three quarters it was bad, just in the opposite direction. And then Alabama made it enough, or got it back
within
close enough
score
to where Tommy Castellanos needed to, you know, do a little bit more magic in the fourth quarter. But
so we will get into a question about Alabama and are they at a point where other top programs have been. So I'll ask that question a little bit later. But Texas, Ohio State. Yeah. The defense is.
What more is there to say?
The defense has shined, as we both thought would happen. We thought this would be a game where the two relatively inexperienced quarterbacks went up against really talented defenses, and those defenses would show out. I thought Texas's defense would be the story, and if not for let's just say an underwhelming performance by Arch Manning, I think that would have been the case. If Arch Manning was not even what he was hyped to be, but let's just say, if he was C.J. Carr level.
If he was
C.J. Carr level against Ohio State, I think that's a game Texas wins. And I think we're talking about how great Texas' defense was. Unfortunately, the conversation is about what is wrong with Arch Manning. Was everyone wrong? Where is he as a quarterback? And can he be fixed? Or was that simply just Ohio State being Ohio State?
Yeah, I think the first quarter and a half, it was just like pretty much what we expected. Then Arch Manning kept playing like that for another quarter, and you're like, what is this? What's happening? Were we duped? And then, he settled in a little bit better. Part of it was just like, there is no other option, so you're just going to have to move the ball down the field throwing it. But I think that, yeah, it was exactly what we thought, even down to like the young quarterbacks and how conservative the coaches were going to be with the quarterbacks, where that first quarter took like 45 minutes. Like it was just like boom, boom, boom. It was just such a fast game. And just running the ball on second down and 10, which Texas fans loved when Sarkisian did that. And then he would call a pass on third down and then Arch Manning would skip it to someone. And then I felt like Sark would go, see, that's why I'm running it on second and 10, all right?
It started the first throw of the game where he had a schemed up player wide open. And, you know, he held it probably a beat too long. And credit to the defensive end for Ohio State for not biting on the run fake. And he's in Arch's face. But that's a ball he tried to fire in, and it probably was a throw that should have been a bit of a layer throw where he kind of layers that ball into the receiver coming across the formation, or at least coming across the field, and that's an easy catch. It seems like an easy catch early or an easy throw early that he can get himself comfortable. But
yeah.
I was watching a breakdown. Of course, everyone has a breakdown of Arch because it is a way to get your clicks. But this – I want to remember his name, or at least the account. But either way, he talked about the footwork and the mechanics, and it was not something we had seen. At least he had not seen from Arch throughout the two starts, and then of course the games he popped in last year. You did not see that type of loss of mechanics where he was sometimes working against himself to throw the football. I am not a quarterback guru; that is for them. So, what do we attribute that to? We attribute that to the moment, because it felt like he was going sidearm more than I had seen in the past.
Again, it felt like it was the what you expect in the first quarter of jitters from a first-time starter in a hostile environment against an awesome team.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like. And that
it kept going.
You kind of write that into, or you know, you bake that into the first quarter and a half of the game. And yeah, it just kept going until the fourth. It just was, he just never got settled in. So I'm not sure how much of it is he just need to settle down, or how much of it is, I don't know, some de-evolution of his mechanic. That's why I'm like long term, still not like shaken up about it. If anything,
his granddad might be right. He's coming back for another year. Worst case scenario.
Archie wasn't talking about how he would even have a decision to make. He was like, no way this kid's leaving early. Who knows? Who
Not
knows what he was thinking?
The first one of us to get drafted in the fourth round. Come on.
He can't. Yeah, there's a picture of Peyton and Eli. They're someplace. Like, I don't know. I think it was the Pro Bowl because I saw these pullovers. And someone put the caption, he's adopted.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I think, and we'll get into
it. Also, they need to realize, like, at least against Ohio State, all of his success before the fourth quarter was running the ball.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is a little bit where his last name's playing a factor, I think. I think if his name was, like, Arch Smith, I feel like they'd be like, all right, just run it. Just run it. We're just running this guy. And, but the fact he's Arch Manning, it's like, it was way – Steve Sarkisian, WTF was this game plan, dude. Because it was nothing but – dropbacks and very like win the game from the pocket kind of stuff, where when he had third year starter Quinn Ewers, it was screen game and misdirection and all this stuff, and he's just like, nah, we'll save that for later.
So I wonder if that is a product of what Arch is comfortable with, because we'll never know. I mean, I don't know if that'll even be revealed, but the RPO stuff really wasn't there. As some of the stuff that they did with Quinn, I don't know what Arch is most comfortable with. They did at times move the pocket for him to try to get him on the move. And I did see this from to make it clear, the Film Guy Network. That's the guy who broke it. Well, that's the account that broke it down. You can find it on YouTube, whatever. But he said Sark has run some version of the same play to start Arch out in all three of his starts.
Mm-hmm.
It is the same play. Now there may be a running back lined up in a different spot, or maybe a motion.
Yeah, but
the
but
play
it's a
overall,
boot to the right.
Yeah, it is the same way he tries to get him going in all of his starts, and you would expect Ohio State to know that. And the defensive end played it like they knew the play. Of course, the receiver's still open. Arch just missed a throw. So, as you said, look like first time jitters for a player who was starting a big game on the road for the first time. And unfortunately for Texas, it played out throughout. And also, unfortunately for Texas, Sark's goal-to-go play calling remains atrocious.
Yeah.
That remains.
The tush push. Not for the Eagles. For everyone else. Everyone else. Just stop doing
it. Don't do it.
It never works.
Yeah, don't do it. Look, I get
They're all over it. Like, they tried to even hurry up. And, like, when you look at the snap, it's like, no, Ohio State's in the perfect position to defend this. Like, to call anything else.
It has been a concern. And while he is known as a good play caller, good game planner, and certainly Texas has at least under Sark, reached heights that they hadn't reached in a while, everyone has their bugaboos, and goal line or goal-to-go play calling remains something that Sark has problems with.
And he was running Arch, too. Like, basically, first down and goal, you could just, like, pencil in, this will be a quarterback keeper for Arch, and couldn't get anything down there.
Yeah, and the Texas still do what they do to Jeremiah Smith. He didn't have a big game. He was not the only big time receiver who struggled. We'll get into Alabama, Florida
I
State.
Put up the video game. I see two guys that can't get.
I was gonna say the cover of the most recent college football game has the two star freshman receivers from last year, and both of them struggled. Ryan Williams went off the field in a scary incident. I will say one thing. Earl Little Jr. likes to hit. If you watch that Florida State game.
They're hitting.
They're playing a new defense with Tony White, the former Nebraska DC. And they put Earl Little in a spot while Caleb Downs is the superstar safety. And he had a good game of affecting everything Texas did. And they tried to play away from him. They gave Earl Little free reign to target. I don't want to say target because that's actually what he got called for. Then they removed it. To put a red dot on people.
Hey, this is a bit aggressive.
The problem for Arch is,
maybe, I know.
Put that red. Maybe put a target on some of your receivers and throw it there, as opposed to the red dot on opponents.
Put a red dot on Ryan Wingo.
Yeah, and hit him with the football.
Maybe we're talking about the Arch coming of age story.
Yeah, but the Earl Little experience. If you're an Alabama player with the ball,
not fun.
Not fun.
No.
He's not that big. I don't know if he's going to survive it the way he plays football, but at least for game one.
He'll survive. At least he'll survive longer than the other guys.
Yeah, but physicality is part of his game. Like, they try to put him at corner with Alabama, I believe. Maybe that's what he came out as at high school. Now as a free-roaming hitter at safety, the physicality of Florida State was back. We'll get to that. Look at DeGarry. He called in. He wants to talk Texas, Ohio State. If anyone else wants to follow him, the number is 713-780-3776. What's up, Gary?
Hey, guys, let me get this off my chest. Well, Arch was supposed to go beat Cleveland, tank. Cleveland, you tank this year, and you get the number one overall draft pick. Arch Manning comes in to save the day. They anointed him in the Heisman Trophy. His grandfather, both of his uncles, and probably his great-great-great-grandfather down the lineage played QB. Primetime Deion Sanders was the greatest cornerback, and he had a quarterback as a son who talked and worked with Tom Brady every now and then. Arch Manning has great, great lineage, and he can get out in the backyard. He can get out in the garage or whatever. He should not have tanked, and you guys, not you, guys are giving him a landing spot, talking about the coaches, talking about the cheerleaders, talking about the pressure. He has been primed. He was elevated to being the number one draft pick next year for Cleveland Browns and take them to the promised land. The Heisman vote candidate. Stop with the excuses. He sucks. He can't handle pressure. He played 2 and 3/8 softball football in high school. He's that bloodline. Everybody elevated him, and he tanked. It wasn't the coach. It wasn't his. The coach was not throwing. Bill Belichick just said on TV tonight, I prepared these guys, but I can't throw the ball tonight. That was on one of the shows today. He's right. I can't play it for him. And it's a reason they don't run certain plays for Arch Manning. He's Peyton and Eli with two left feet. And so at the end of the day, don't give this guy a pass. He should have been prepared because he talks to his dad and grandparents. He's with them every day, unlike Shador, who works out with Tom Brady in the summer and whose dad knows nothing about quarterbacking and still did well. So let him go get the first-round draft charge to Cleveland and see how that works with faster defenders.
Thanks, Gary. What I've noticed about, Gary, is what he hears in other places, even if it isn't on this show, and he acknowledged that, he likes to get off his chest with us. Cool. I mean, you're having a bit of a discussion, or at least in this case, a monologue with people who weren't propping Arch up as the next coming. In fact, your point about who we played in high school is something I've not on this show. I've talked about it with John and Lance, how in a somewhat joking fashion, look at all these 5'7" kids from private schools. He's not playing against the best in Texas, or he's not playing in the biggest schools in Florida. There's a certain level of competition that Arch faced. He never went to camps, and I think he was even applauded for that because the Mannings don't believe in that stuff. If you look at it cynically, it also means he's not competing against the best of the best. Like, you can't eye him up against the best players across the country. Either way, Arch is a talented player who struggled, and unfortunately for him, he is going to be held to a standard because of how people talked about him. If he was just a guy starting, his third game, first on the road, he's been there now going into his third year, but still an inexperienced player, you're like, you know what? Okay, cool. It happens. But because of the lineage and the conversations about him, he has to deal with undue attention and now undue criticism because people will take their stance. And you heard Gary throw in the Shador thing because people like to draw lines in the sand and stand on one side or the other about this. Me, I just watched the game, enjoyed it because it's college football, and Archer's story's not written yet. That's all. And we'll see what he is in his in the entirety of a season. He didn't play well. I think that's easy enough to be said. And we can also point out that Steve Sarkisian's problems, at least inside the 10-yard line, go beyond Arch Manning because it's been a thing for him for years. Now, throwing the football, he can't do that for Arch, and Arch did not excel there. And that's all. I mean, we don't need to make sweeping accusations or make statements about the player after third start. No.
I think he has to play tight end at the next level. Bill Polian agrees with me.
Bill Polian will never say a thing against the Mannings. You know, that's not happening. All right. We'll talk more college football when we get back. If you want to join in the conversation, 713-780-3776. Lot to get to. And also, at some point, I think D'Amico Ryans will speak today because it is Monday of game week. We'll see if we have a definitive word on whether Chauncey Gardner-Johnson could practice, because I saw him listed as questionable. Not sure if we will see him on the practice field starting today. D'Amico Ryans surely will tell us it doesn't matter because Chauncey Gardner Jr.'s mental health, or Johnson's mental health, means more than anything else. But we will see if the starting safety for the Texans is back out there at practice. But before we do all that, Sean's going to tell you about Prize Picks.
Yes, Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app, and the best place to get in on the Astros action because it's the official daily fantasy sports app of your Houston Astros. How about that? So wherever you want to, whatever you want, you can do it on Prize Picks. And I think today is a great opportunity to make some money on the Astros' ineptitude on offense. As always, this is a trend that we watch closely because we're watching these games. I think Kikuchi and Luis Garcia get through the first inning without allowing a run. Now, you could maybe take that farther and say Kikuchi goes however many innings without giving up any runs. But I think first inning, I want to get this little green little check on this lineup by 11:30. Give me the less than half a run or allowed in the first inning from Kikuchi and Luis Garcia. And then tonight, UNC, TCU, I think we saw a little bit of the difference of what having an experienced defensive play caller hat brings you with the NFL lineage, with Matt Patricia with Ohio State. And you know who's a better defensive mind than Matt Patricia? Bill Belichick. And he's going to be he's had all summer to game plan against the TCU offense and Josh Hoover. Give me the less on Josh Hoover's 288.5 passing yards. And hey, it's a great way to make some money on Prize Picks all football season long. You can do it right now. It's not too late. Download the app today. Use promo code MAPES to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's promo code MAPES to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, it's good to be right.
This is ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Yeah, the station is running local programming. You may have been confused because the two legends, the two Hall of Famers, decided Labor Day. We never work on Labor Day, and that continued. Maybe you guys weren't even surprised, considering they never do work on Labor Day. But we're here. I believe the rest of the lineup will follow. Paul Gallant at noon, and then the Killer Bees after that. So if you want to hear John and Lance, be ready for tomorrow. And also be ready for What Did You Learn? Because we're still going to do that, even if it's a Tuesday. Okay, let's do our misery index here because it allows us to get into some other games and focus on them. Top of the list, I mean, so many games. You could pick any team, I guess, who lost. But I don't think there's any more miserable fan base when you consider expectations and their belief that they're at the top of the sport at all times than Alabama. They went into Florida State, a 2-10 Florida State team, and that's kind of not something you should really believe considering the changes that go on in college football from year to year. When you got a new quarterback, you got three new offensive linemen, multiple transfer receivers, same could be said across the defense. They're not really the same team. The coach remains the same, so you can, I guess, drop the 2-10 on Mike Norvell. But the team itself, a lot of the guys that are contributors ain't have nothing to do with what happened last year. And that showed out on Saturday afternoon where they beat Alabama 31-17. Alabama looked pretty good early, at least on that first drive, where they go down the field and score. It took a long time. There weren't very many explosive plays throughout the game from Alabama, but that drive, they had to be kind of take what Florida State gave them with Tony White as their new DC at Florida State, and they found a way. So from that point on, though, could you not do that while the can you not do this while the show's going on? The disrespect. He just walks in, opens a drawer. he's such an a-hole. You're an a-hole. Oh, now you want to work?
No, what are y'all doing?
What do you mean,
what are you doing right now? Y'all doing a podcast?
No, we're not. You did a podcast. You just finished a podcast.
Are y'all doing, is this bullpen?
No, it's not. The bullpen's on Saturdays. This is a Monday.
It's like it's a Saturday because we're off today.
Well, you're off today.
It's Labor Day. It's for people who work, not to work.
Sean, are you off today?
No.
I'm clearly not.
Some would say we don't work.
It's not really work. Sean, you're not off. I'm clearly not off. Paul Gallant's coming in.
Why do you look so tired then?
I don't look tired.
You're not even in as early as you get in. What are you doing?
Why are you saying I look tired?
Why is there an intern here when it's Labor Day?
Because.
That is a fair question.
Because the interns, I probably agreed to come in. I mean, I imagine he could have said no.
This is craziness. Paul's not going to work today.
Yes, he is.
What's he doing?
It's football season. I don't believe you.
Nobody's listening.
I don't believe you care a lot about your job. I know you don't. I believe you don't care a lot about your job, but I also know you don't belong in this business because you're not working on Labor Day.
Let me ask you.
I've been told that.
I have heard that. If you're not listening, call, and I'm going to prove to you.
You know how that doesn't make any
sense? 713-780-3776. If you're not listening to the show
right now. We already
got a call
from Gary.
Give him a call, 713-780.
He took issue with the Arch Manning hype and how.
3776. I take issue with it, too.
Somehow he pulled Shedeur Sanders in the conversation.
Well, okay.
I know that's not a surprise.
That's not a surprise. But no. Shedeur,
but
didn't deserve that much hype.
Hold on. You know you could have done this on your show this morning. How about you save it for tomorrow?
Because today's Labor Day. No one's listening.
713-780. We already got a call, so someone's listening.
If you're not listening, call.
You know, not everyone has today off.
Apparently, everybody has today off.
No one here except for you two have.
You guys are working today so you can take a comp day when people are listening.
Why not?
This is terrible.
Or I'll just add it on to my vacation. I haven't taken a vacation this year.
I haven't either.
Yes, you have.
I took a small one to New York.
Yeah, then that's a vacation.
Well, it was 3 days. I didn't take a summer vacation.
Oh, look. People are calling.
These are people calling who aren't listening.
How does that happen if you call for calls?
That's my point, Dell. If you're not listening, give them a call.
You can't. You're trying to win something you can't win.
You know who's listening right now? Israel and Gary.
That's Trey. That's not an Israel.
They're calling so they can tell you how bad Arch Manning is. They couldn't wait for today.
That's fine. How come you didn't want to take part in that?
Arch looked terrible.
He stunk.
He stunk, but he.
It's fine, though.
My whole point the whole time was, what exactly are everyone basing this hype on? He didn't look all that
You got to go
last
get
year.
Your boy Dan Orlovsky. He tweeted out something along the lines of.
Oh, Dan's a quarterback protector.
He tweeted out something along the lines of, he said putting the handcuffs on your generational quarterback. It was
Sark needed to run him more, but the handcuffs.
The handcuffs were about not opening up the offense for him, not run him more.
Maybe he's not. Does anyone thought about the fact that he's not opening up the offense and didn't bring him in for a beat-up Quinn Ewers last year? Is there a reason, maybe?
We didn't get to that, but that is a check mark in the Steve Spurrier line of thought where he goes,
I don't understand. They couldn't even play him last year. The other kid went in seventh round. He is seventh rounder, and he couldn't play it head-to-head. He's supposed to be best quarterback in the whole nation.
For any of you people who are, that's such a simplistic way to think about it. Well, week one suggests.
He's going to be better, but you better be running him 8 to 10 times a game. Arch Manning
at this point,
is a dual threat.
Imagine having a generational talent quarterback and having the training wheels on all
Dan's
games.
Got a cape on at all times for every quarterback.
I almost would hope.
I don't see any inconsistencies. Where's the accuracy issues for Anthony Richardson? I'm watching the tape. I don't see it.
You got all this energy but couldn't show up at 7 to do
it. I had energy because I didn't have to wake up early and do a show early.
You didn't, but you had your coffee, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Are you done?
And I did a Joe Moore Award podcast.
So you were able to do some audio-related work today.
Yeah, but no one's listening right now.
Except for Trey and Tim?
They haven't made it on yet.
let's get to Trey. You want to sit in for Trey, Lance, since you're talking? Well, he might just. What's up, Trey?
Hey, what's going on?
Are you calling to prove that you're listening or calling to prove that you're not listening?
I'm calling to prove that I am listening.
Oh,
I've
look at that, Lance.
For the last 7.5 years, and this is the first time I've called. I am not a Houston native. I'm not going to call myself a Beaumont native. I'm a Port Arthur native.
PA.
I love Port Arthur.
You got to represent PA. You can't say Beaumont. You can't say Golden Triangle, I suppose.
Yeah. You're pretty much the Golden Triangle. I agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose Golden you could
Triangle
say that.
Native.
Well,
I'm from Richmond, Texas. I'm not from Rosenberg.
It's not about you, Lance.
Well, I'm just saying, I don't say Richmond, Rosenberg. I'm Richmond.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Trey.
No, he's not from Beaumont.
No one said he was from Beaumont.
It's P-A-T.
Trey.
Well, I mean, the only reason I said Beaumont is because most people recognize that area over Port Arthur. No. But I'm just saying, you know, that's why I said that.
Trey, you can say Port Arthur, and we'll know it's different. Isn't it? Where's Bun from?
Port Arthur.
There it is.
That's where, I think Kendrick's from Port Arthur, too, right?
He's from Beaumont Ozone.
He's Beaumont Ozone is where he played.
Yes. Original UGK.
Yeah.
See?
Steven Jackson, Port Arthur? I think he is, too.
I don't know, but Trey, we recognize that Port Arthur is a city unto itself. We don't
consider you Beaumont.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about it, man.
All right, well, I'm from Port Arthur.
If anyone's listening from Vider, call in. 713-780-3776.
Port Arthur, Trey, we appreciate it.
Vider, if anyone wants to have Arch Manning's back, 713.
Perhaps someone from Jasper has thoughts about Shedeur Sanders.
From Jasper. Jasper, if you're happy that Shedeur's like... third team for the Browns. You're from Jasper.
And you want to let us know about it.
Welcome. We'll have the dump button ready just in case you get too creative.
I don't think you guys would ruin the sanctity of radio by cursing anyone from Jasper. We appreciate the call, Trey. Understood. Port Arthur is a real place. It is not simply runoff from Beaumont.
Look at all these people who aren't listening.
Yeah, look at all these people who are calling and proving that they're listening. Thank you, Trey. Lance, anything else you want to suggest? All right, bye. Get out of here. People are listening.
If somebody knows the bit, they'll say, I'm not listening. And it'll turn into a bunch of people saying they're not listening.
Well,
if they know the bit.
Sorry. He just called all of you idiots, by the way, off mic. He's not a good person. He came in here to try to ruin the show, and his point was not proven. And then he called you guys dumb for not proving his point. All right, let's get to one more call. Before we go, sorry, I'm laughing because Joe from Vider is called. Okay, we got to get to Joe from Vider. And then we'll go to break. Marco, Tam, I see you. We will get to you. Thank you, Trey. Let's get to Joe from Vider. What's up, Joe?
What's up, guys? See, people listening on Labor Day. I don't know about defending Arch. I will say this. I mean, his uncle has probably still holds the record for most interceptions by a rookie in the league, and he turned out okay. DNA is pretty important in sports.
The lineage kind of does matter. We have seen it happen, but it didn't happen. It didn't matter for the Jordans, though. It didn't really matter for the Jordans because the sons of Michael were college players, but never good enough for the NBA. But yes, DNA sometimes matters. We'll see if
the Sanders. There's one that we still got hope for.
Yeah, one got cut, and now he's saying he might quit football. But yes, Joe, you're not wrong. The Arch story is not completely written.
You have no idea how many, you know, this is what so-and-so great quarterback's first game look like. You have no idea how many screenshots I've seen of first starts passing lines and how similar they all look.
Texas fans who have these hopes for Arch will comfort themselves.
I saw a Vince Young one.
He was not good. Was it against Ohio State his first start?
No, that was Colt McCoy. He had a first start against Ohio State and didn't go well. The Vince Young one where he was like 8-for-23 against Oklahoma in 2004. It was like his second year starting, and he was just terrible against Oklahoma.
He wasn't good.
I'm saying, while that's reasonable, people are going too far by like wrapping themselves in the.
Yeah, don't comfort yourself with what legends did.
Don't do that. I need some wins on the board before he.
Just let that man play. He's going to get plenty of opportunity. I did think about this.
Now, if he stinks against the next three teams of their phone,
you might have real. People will actually learn the Texas backup quarterback's name at this point.
It's Matthew Caldwell, folks.
I don't think many people knew. maybe
he beat out Trey Owens.
Maybe deep into the second quarter, people started, who's the backup for Texas? Just to see if they Sark might pull Arch. Of course, that didn't happen. The game was still close.
I didn't think
close.
It, but it did cross my mind.
Yeah.
I didn't think it, but I was like, oh, there he is.
Right he's there. Like, look, he's standing there. That did not happen. Arch will probably get a long leash. But if he's playing in a way that might cost you a season, which we don't think will be the case, because that team around him is too good.
Next test is in a month in the Swamp against Florida.
Yeah, Florida.
And then the next week in Dallas against OU.
DJ Lagway wasn't thrilled with Florida's performance. He didn't like the offense performance against Long Island of all teams. There's more college football to get to. Bryce Underwood made his debut. And while I don't have high hopes for Michigan, I was pretty impressed, particularly by one throw he made when the game was getting a little shaky in the second quarter as New Mexico was giving them a bit of a fight. Let's get to Marco since the Joe from Vider call went relatively short. Let's get to Marco, and then we'll go to break. What's up, Marco?
I was just calling to let y'all know I am listening on Labor Day while I'm working.
Thank you. Lance thinks no one works. I mean, he works in radio, so he thinks, okay, no one works. In fact, it's funny he thinks that when plenty of people work in radio on Labor Day.
What's he doing there?
Oh, he does – he's not cutting up – he's not looking at players, so he just showed up for a podcast he does for the Joe Moore Awards. It's the best office line unit in the country, so he's part of that awards process.
And I guess he came on your show – just for attention, right? Like he always does.
Yeah.
So, Marco, while Lance was upset with people for not getting the bit, you know Lance pretty well. Yes, that is what he did.
You're all over
what Lance is. Thank you, Marco.
Yeah, because why did he come in there and slam the drawer?
Because
I mean, that's to make a noise and get attention.
Of course, that's who he is as a person.
This way he gets it both ways. People know he's here and quote working on something. But he also got the day off.
Yeah. You read him pretty well. Thank you, Marco.
Make that make sense. That's all I say.
Appreciate it, Marco. Have a good rest of your day. Yeah, we know people are working. That's why we're here partly, because there's a lot to talk about, and maybe people didn't want to hear national radio for the entirety of their workday. All right, we'll go to break with that. We will get more into college football because we still got to actually talk about the Alabama-Florida State game. Lance destroyed that segment, but he did prove that people are listening. We'll talk about what happened with LSU-Clemson, the Battle of Death Valley, and we'll continue to talk about the greatest sport in the world, college football, when we come back.
Blue and Red Rule. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.